Let's bring in our first guest for the hour. We've got Luis Strohmeier. He's Octavio Wealth Advisors partner and wealth advisor. He's joining us ahead of Yahoo Finance's All Market Summit presented by Northern Trust. That's on October 25th. Luis, it's good to talk to you today. You heard Emily walking us through the expectations here as we look ahead to big bank earnings. As she noted, we've seen the strong performance of financials. Where do you stand on that right now? And have the expectations run up too high, you think, largely because the thinking is higher rates are going to be a big benefit to these big banks?
Sure. I think the biggest benefit would be for those banks that are not on a grand scale, the national banks. Certainly you've seen another rise in the price of their stocks over the last 12 months. But I think the forgotten story here is the regional banks, the community banks. I think that impacts them the most with a higher rates because they don't have trading arms. They don't have other major sources of income other than traditional lending. So when you have, you know, almost 100 basis points increase in the 10-year note from last year to this year, that is about a 33% impact on earnings to these smaller banks, community banks, regional banks. So I do see a lot of consolidation there in the coming months, coming years, at least the next 12 to 24 months. So I think that there is a lot of appetite there. There is a lot of opportunity there. And still financial sector, but I'm looking more towards a community and regional side.
Yeah, how specifically have you positioned yourself within some of those financial names?
Well, you know, there's a lot of banks. I mean, just to name a few banks out there, you have Fifth Third Bank, you have Huntington Bank, and I'm sorry, I mentioned some Ohio banks. We are based out of Ohio, so we have a little bit better feeling for what's going on there. But there's, you know, those are some of the banks that we're looking at. There's certainly a ton more in the scope of things. So there's a lot of opportunity in every region.
Energy, obviously the big story of the day here. The sector is up well over 1% right now. You know, how are you looking at that space right now? Is this kind of a short-term run-up that we're seeing around the fears of supplies, especially going into the winter season? Or do you think that you position yourself within this sector for more of a, you know, medium-term, long-term play in the expectation that prices will only continue to go up?
Yes, thank you for that. That's a good, very good comment. I think energy, since last year, we were very, very bullish on the energy sector. So towards the latter part of last year, I think that was a very good call. We're a little bit more cautious now. I think there's a big run up in energy. And as far as the price of oil, you know, touching over $80 a barrel, that's very surprising to us, of course, coming off the summer. So I think the winter months will bring oil prices a little bit less than what we're seeing them now. But I think next the story is next summer. I think we'll go beyond the prices that we're seeing today. So that sector will, you know, certainly probably caught most of the gains that we expected since last year, but probably were two-thirds of the way. So there's still some room for that sector in the coming months.
Let's talk about the biggest risk that you see right now. You've highlighted the fact that your concern is on interest rates and tapering. I mean, the Fed has pretty clearly messaged that, and the expectation seems to be some kind of move coming in the next FOMC meeting. You know, what's the fear around that right now?
You know, I don't think that's a fear. I think it's something that's been expected. The market's already priced that in. Because of one thing or another, I think the biggest balance is the pandemic and the recovery with the pandemic. I mean, if it was my opinion is that we are well into a recovery, and the Delta variant and the Mu variant, you have to kind of be very careful if you were the Fed, because we're coming into the winter months, if this becomes a major issue, then you don't want to come in too fast on the tapering. But there is no question in our minds that is going to happen. The question is, how aggressively do you taper? So, I think that if we can get through this winter and we can really put the pandemic behind us, I think that our recovery is going to be strong. And I've been saying this for a while. I call it the slingshot effect. And I think that what we experienced last year in the at the height of the pandemic, and then when everybody is throwing their arms in the air, thinking, my gosh, the the economy, we're going into the tank. Everything is is being lost, thousands of jobs, and we were looking at 15% unemployment, about 15 months ago. Look at where we were and where we are today. It is remarkable, and that's the slingshot effect. And that slingshot effect has happened before. The Roaring Twenties is a major example of that. Obviously, we don't like to talk about. And what most people remember is 1929, which is at the end of the Roaring Twenties. I don't think we'll make that mistake again, but I think maybe we are building our own Roaring Twenties of this century. So I wouldn't discount the strength of this economy. I wouldn't discount the strength of this country and the people that live in this country.